tell you, other than it's a whole lot of show. A wise man once said, and his name was Robert Plant, I got a whole lot of show. Meow. Okay, it is. There's so much to cover. There's so much going on. It's going to be fun. There's going to be a lot of bitching. So buckle up for that. There's going to be a lot of bitching. There's going to be a lot of truth shoveling. There's going to be a lot of conspiracy talk. There's going to be tales of dentistry and Mandalorian. It is a packed show, and it's going to be a lot of fun. As always. And I want to kick it off right now. We must be making some moves. I've now received an email from another company, Gimlet, talking about how well the podcast is doing. And they're like, I think they want us to subscribe to their services to so we can feel good about what we're doing and the people we're reaching. It works. Mm-hmm. It works. Flattery will get you in my pantaloons. Flattery will get me to crack my wallet open. Check this out. So a couple weeks ago, I get this email that we were like number 209 in Greece. Remember that we were talking about how awesome they are in Greece? And still, I'm not going to stop loving on you, Greece. In fact, I'm going to rub you down with scented oils and give you the full body massage and take you out for a gyro later and some spanakopita. We are... Listen to this. We're now up to 186 in Greece.
Wow.
Yes. And then, now our good friends in Denmark are not going to be outdid. Our good friends in Denmark, I find this out from another company that charts podcasts, we're 198 in Denmark. So, yes, we can go to Greece with some Danish cookies and just... We're rock stars. I'm so thrilled.
Why not go to Denmark with spanakopita?
I love that too. Why not grab some baklava and go hang with the Danes?
Baklava.
I love me some baklava. Okay, so before we take this side trip onto the culinary delights of Greece and Denmark, I think it's awesome, and it just I know these companies, they're looking for money. So I can subscribe to their service and see how we're doing and blah, 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 blah. But it's just fun. I just really dig it that there's people in Greece. There's people in Denmark. I know there's people in Canada. There's Australia. And it's a lot of fun. And I really dig it. So if you're listening in Greece, which evidently there's a bunch of you. And if you're listening in Denmark, anywhere you're listening, I totally dig it. Thanks for talking about the show. Thanks for turning on your friends to the show. And for the love of all that's holy, stay in touch. So it's great. We're an international Loftus Patius. We got Liberty Gimlet on the other end of the phone. This is a big podcast. This is a big one. And so there will be, as always, a little bit of all over the boardness to it. But I guess... My philosophy has always been this, like, I don't want to offer up problems without some kind of solution or optimism or what have you. So we're going to try to do that. We should probably just start with all this election hoopla and the media's reaction to it and just the whole sum of it, just the whole sum of its parts. And we'll dive deeper into little aspects of it. I want to start with Sidney Powell. I think that's a good place to start. She is, God bless her. God bless, like, either way, even if you're a hater, even if you're a total hater, she says she's going to release the Kraken. She says it's already started. She says it's going to be biblical. She says. She's a lawyer, you guys. She's not bagging groceries at the supermarket. She's not some homeless dude hanging out in front of a gas station asking you for a dollar, telling you, here's what really happened to the election. Like, she is risking it all. She's either going to be the laughingstock and like, hey, don't pull a Sidney Powell on me. It'll go be one for the ages. Or you got to think about both sides of it. Or there's some truth to what she's saying. And I think as a rational human being, like, unless she's totally flipped her lid, and like I'm saying, unless she's totally just bonkers, maybe there's something to what she's saying. And so predictably, everyone, and I'm talking everyone, 98% of the news outlets are treating her like she's just a homeless lady out in front of a pet store with, hanging onto a dead fish, asking people for a handful of spaghetti and some nickels. I'm in full wait and see mode. I just want to wait and see. And man, these, and this is just going to be a bitch session. We know why they do it. We all know why they do it. But it's just, to me, it is just, and this is all of them, all the news outlets. Where's your proof? Where's your proof? You didn't show me a shred of shred. There's no proof. You're saying this. Where's your proof? Where's your proof? They've got affidavits. They've got witnesses. They've got people who are going to testify. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? What now? Now all of a sudden we're 4 years away from 2016, and now it's you have to prove your case to CNN before you can go forward. Is that where we are? I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to live in that world. What do you think, there, Gimlet?
Well, here's where I am. I wish they would turn the heat down a little bit on my governor. Not because there might not be something there, but their timing is absolutely terrible.
We have
two Senate runoff races here. If you can prove there's something wrong with the Dominion system, that's fine. If you want to go into court and say, we think Governor Kemp and the Secretary of State got kickbacks, that's an issue we can take care of later, after the Senate runoffs. Do you really want to lose the Senate majority?
Well, isn't it all, I mean, and just, I'm just putting myself in their shoes. Isn't it all kind of secondary? Like, if the accusation is Dominion voting systems, someone was making sure the outcome was X, Y, and Z, isn't everything else just lesser than? It's like, hey.
Well, that's kind of my point. I mean, I have two attorneys who I have a ton of respect for based on their previous work. I think Sidney Powell is a very brave and patriotic soul. She left her career behind to write License to Lie, which exposed prosecutorial misconduct within the DOJ and highlighted the devious malfeasance of people like Andrew Weissman long before he was with Mueller, right? Everything she has said that was going to happen in Michael Flynn's case, every bit of documentary evidence, everything she said about the timeline has actually happened, and documents are still coming out. And I think it's because some of them were caught up in the Durham investigation. So I have a ton of respect for her. Another lawyer, Jordan Sekulow, who's Jay Sekulow's son, who is part of the ACLJ, which is a very effective legal group.
I've never even heard of the ACLJ. Is that the American Civil Liberty Jews?
No, the American Center for Law and Justice.
Okay. Law and.
They're one of these. They're a conservative group that represents like churches who are getting harassed or defend monuments, that sort of thing. They do a lot of pro-life work.
It's a very different group from the American Lawn Justice. America Lawn Justice is a group of landscapers who pretend to be lawyers. Beware of them.
But Jay Sekulow was on the president's impeachment legal team.
Yes.
So I respect that organization, and I certainly have a ton of respect for Jordan and Jay, right?
Sure.
But guys, if you've got the Dominion stuff, let's just take care of the 2020 election and get wherever we're going to get with that. You don't have to blow up the Republican Party inside Georgia when we have two critical runoffs going.
But isn't there a ticking clock?
Your timing is terrible.
But there's a ticking clock. With as states are certifying elections and things are going, and then you've got, you know, Sleepy Joe's supposed to his transition team and tick tock.
Oh, yeah. But my whole point is if the Dominion software has this algorithm in it, right, which is what they're saying, it's a proportional vote algorithm, okay?
Yeah.
That's all that matters for the deadlines you're talking about. What they're going back to now is how Dominion came into the state to begin with and saying that process was somehow corrupt. You can really just shut it for now and deal with that in February.
Well, yes. Now, if it's me, and I don't know anything about the law, I just watch a lot of TV shows about the law. I would have done what Rudy did. I would have done what old Sidney Powell did. I would have done just a giant shotgun blast of, hey, we're looking into this. I just would have, without laying. You know, you gotta have your evidence in your pocket. You know, you gotta be able to prove all this stuff. But by laying out the case for this is a vast conspiracy, we've got affidavits here, blah 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 blah. Hopefully, you can get someone to look into some part of it. Hopefully, you can get some network. Listen, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago on the show, where it was my big concern if the tech companies and big media can get sleepy Joe Biden across the finish line, that ain't good. That ain't good, Jack. And they are using all of their powers to try to make that happen. And I'm just playing devil's advocate here, just playing a little game of make-believe. Listen, if it's true, I mean, Sidney Powell keeps saying this stuff. It's like we're in 1775 land. This is going to be biblical. I'm releasing the Kraken. Like, if this is true, it would be, I mean, this would change everything. And then the upside to all of this, again, the upside is that hopefully at the very least, we can stop this mail-in ballot nonsense forever. We need to change it forever. And then I guess to your point, it makes the argument for, well, we got to hold on to Georgia, make sure these people get elected, but you can feel it, man. You can feel it. Like, the entire country, at least I can, this is just speaking for myself, we're at a tipping point. We are at a tipping point. And the GOP, if they think for a second that the 72, 73 million people who voted for Trump are automatically going to vote for conservatives or just any old Republican, that ain't happening. That ain't happening.
I've actually wrote extensively about this, and I'll be writing about it again today, because there's a stupid article in the New York Times saying Trump is trying to keep control of the GOP by making sure Ronna McDaniel stays the chair and da-da-da-da-da. He doesn't really have a political apparatus underneath. And I'm all like, wait a minute, 73 million voters kind of sounds like an apparatus to me. And, you know, should he decide to move away from the GOP, it sounds like one hell of a start for a platform that'll work. So forgive me if I disagree with you, Bat Signal, because, of course, it's Maggie Haberman with people close to the situation. God, I can't stand her. Anyway, but there is a realignment going on here that either the establishment is ignoring on both sides, or the voters don't yet understand. Because if you look at it, and you look at the coalition that voted for Trump that we know of, there might be more, who knows? If you look at the coalition that voted for Trump, the GOP with Trump's agenda is now the party of people who make somewhere between $50,000 and $250,000 a year. And there's a lot more of us than there are people above that.
Yes. And then go ahead.
It also is not the race dispute that the left wants you to think it is. It's a class dispute. There is a segment of American society that is tired of the strategy of managed decline that started under Kissinger. Trump showed us all it doesn't have to be that way. And we're not going to go back to the policies that did that. And I really think if we go through 4 years of Biden and we have $5 a gallon gasoline again, we go back to the Iran deal, our current allies in the Middle East, you know, the Arab-Israel alliance that is coalescing around the fact that Iran and its clients, I guess, are the actual threat in the region. If we go back into that Iran deal, that whole new emerging coalition is going to turn its backs on us. That's clear as day. They're going to carry on without us.
Well, we can. Here's where it all boils down to, if I may. Mm-hmm. You have I'm using air quotes, the Trump coalition, and like, oh, they make this much money to that much money, and they're from the Black community and the Latino community, and da da da. The reason it is abroad. Coalition and the reason it is so big and so popular because it's about right and wrong. It's about here's what I'm feeling. Americans, there's a huge number of us that have just had enough of this BS. We're aware of history, and it's like we talk about on this show all the time. There was a guy on who called in Rush Limbaugh, and somebody tweeted it out and it's getting a ton of retweets. And the guy is just, you can hear it in his voice. He's just had enough. We have been sold a pack of lies for decades. And these freaking douchebags in their suits are like, well, John McCain, he's going to be the guy that's going to, oh, yeah, oh, Mitt Romney, he's the guy that's going to day. And it's like, you've got the left wing, liberal, progressive, then you got the right wing, you know, air quote, conservatives who love to spend like crazy and they don't act like conservatives. And it's like that old thing, the left wing, right wing, same bird. And it's like that joke that's going around now. Who won the 2020 election? The government. And we're tired of that. And here's me up on a soapbox for a little bit. And it's what this guy was saying on the Rush Limbaugh show. He was the caller that just really, I just felt it too. And we talk about it on this show. No one ever gets in trouble. So either we're being completely lied to and bamboozled. But when someone comes on and says, you know what, you can't destroy evidence. You can't destroy evidence. That's a crime. And this goes back to the IRS. And like, oopsie daisy, we lost all the emails. Oh, actually, you know what? There's a backup server. And I think they're over. Oh, darn it. That was accidentally destroyed. No, wait a minute. That was evidence. And then you destroyed it. And you said it was an accident. I call bullshit. Nothing ever happens. Oh, Hillary Clinton. Oh, they smashed up all the things. And yes, technically she was breaking a law and you're not supposed to have a server there and blah, blah, blah. No one gets in trouble. Huma Abedin, she's like, hey, here's a bunch of state secret emails that I'm going to frickin' put on a laptop with my husband, Anthony Weiner, and he's being hacked by God knows. Yeah, technically it's against the law, but you know, nothing ever happens. Then you got freaking Joe Biden and the Obama gang in there talking with the head of the CIA and the FBI talking about, let's use the Logan Act to get Flynn. Let's get him. And then you get the FBI. Hey, do you want him to go to jail or just want him to get him to lie? And like, we see that the government has been weaponized. We see that no one ever gets in trouble, but the left has no problem. Oh, Manafort, you're going to jail. Other dude, we're going to send the CNN and the FBI, and we're going to have frogmen in the water and surround your house. It only cuts one way, and we're just tired of it. And to watch these GOP representatives you know, just be like folding like deck chairs. Well, I think the president, this is embarrassing for the president to try to say this at this point in time. Dude, they haven't learned a thing. They haven't learned a thing.
Was it embarrassing for Al Gore?
Oh my gosh. We're going to get into more media of it. We're going to get into the media aspect of it too. The CNN of it all, the anger at Fox. I was just on Gutfeld. And I want to talk specifically to everybody who's mad at Fox and all that stuff. We're going to take a little break right here, but we're going to be right back. More good stuff, I swear. And I'm going to make sure the Mandalorian talk this week is in the C block. And then there'll still be Patreon stuff. But stick around. We'll be right back.
There's nothing more predictable in life than the unexpected. Lightning will always strike. Hail will fall on roofs. Fortunately, there's AAA. AAA has been helping members stay prepared for over 100 years. So when unusual storms, fallen debris, or sudden leaks happen, you'll be covered. Check, check, and check. Get the home and auto insurance you need by talking with a AAA insurance agent today. Visit AAA.com/insurance or stop by your local AAA store. There's nothing more predictable in life than the unexpected. Lightning will always strike. Hail will fall on roofs. Fortunately, there's AAA. AAA has been helping members stay prepared for over 100 years. So when unusual storms, fallen debris, or sudden leaks happen, you'll be covered. Check, check, and check. Get the home and auto insurance you need by talking with a AAA insurance agent today. Visit AAA.com/insurance or stop by your local AAA store.
We're back. It's still election madness. It's still the media. And of once again, just as I quoted Robert Plant at the beginning of the A block, I'd like to quote another learned man who once said the fake media is the enemy of the people. The fake news is the enemy of the people. Boy, that one is holding up well under scrutiny.
Very. Another one too.
It is.
You got another quote? They only hate me because they hate you.
Oh yeah, this is. Boy howdy. I don't know how it's going to shake out. I shudder to think, but I always want to be based in reality. I always want to be based in this could happen. Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. I want to talk about this for just a little bit. There's a lot of people. I was just on the Greg Gutfeld program, and it was a lot of fun. It was good times. Tyrus was the happiest I've ever seen him. Cat Timpf was funny. Oh my gosh, I forget the other girl's name. She was fun. She's always great too. And then it's wild to see, because the Gutfeld show, you know, they tweeted out, hey, join us this Saturday for blah 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 blah, and so many people were just like, I'm not watching. Emily Kim Compagno was the other guest. There, you can feel it. The people who feel like they have been stabbed in the back by Fox News, and there's a ton of them. At least they're tweeting about it. I'll be very anxious to see, or very eager to see rather, what the ratings are like, and see if there's been a huge hit. I know Morning Joe recently beat Fox and Friends, so there's something very real happening here with people turning the dial.
Joe and all that other sucks. Good stuff.
Yeah, I would ask people do this. I would ask people to do this, and I'm not doing this selfishly. I'm not a huge boycott person. You know how this is, but like, you can still watch the programs you like. It doesn't have to be an all or nothing thing. If you like the way Tucker Carlson handles the news, keep watching Tucker Carlson, and then you don't have to watch another program on Fox if you don't like it. And if you like the Greg, you can certainly, and then because they'll see. Listen, these are network people. I've been in the TV game for a long time. I know a little bit. They can go minute by minute. They can really do a deep dive. When the people who own these stations, when they look at it, they'll go, holy crap, we got these huge ratings on Gutfeld, but then this other show, you know, takes a huge dip. So, and that will affect the programs they pick up. So I can understand why people are upset and they're completely pissed, and that's all well and good. But it doesn't have to be an all or nothing, because here's what you don't want. And this is just, maybe it's a huge rationalization, in my opinion. Look at what the left has. They have, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, Headline News, MSNBC. They have all these outlets. And then it becomes like conditioning. It's a Pavlovian thing. When you're just walking through your life, just a regular Joe, just going to your job, and you're like, oh, I'm going to check in with the news. Oh, I'm going to watch CNN and I'm going to watch ABC and NBC. You think, oh, wow, I'm getting my news from three different sources. Eh, no, you're not. You're getting the same talking points from three different areas. And then you think, ooh, I'm smart. I'm informed. And that's wonderful. Here I go. Now I can vote and be well informed. And then they can say, oh, Fox is alone and Fox is propaganda. Listen, if you want to shore up Newsmax, and if you want to shore up One America and watch them as well, please, by all means do. But don't try to, I would ask that you not try to, oh, let's just destroy Fox News. You're throwing the baby out with the bathwater there. And here's the other thing you have to be on the lookout for, and then I'll wrap this up. You don't just want to exist in an echo chamber. You don't want to, oh, I'm going to watch this news channel because they say the things I like. What you want, and hopefully this is where we can steer towards as a society, I want somebody who's telling me the truth. That's why Fox News is popular. It's like people got tired of the left-wing echo chamber and like, okay, here comes Fox News. So we need more of that. So let's not try to kill networks that are maybe getting towards some kind of truth. Go ahead there, Gimlet.
I think the anger at Fox is indicative of a much larger problem that you and I identified, in episode 4. There is a grave misunderstanding in this country, and it doesn't just exist among the people who watch, it also exists among the people on TV about what the difference is between news and commentary.
Yeah.
So yeah. If you have commentators on Fox whose opinions you enjoy, you should continue to watch them the same way you would read editorials by people you enjoy. You got to understand too, when Bret Baier and I think it was Martha McCallum were sitting there on election night, they're getting information in their earpiece from people behind the scenes. I mean, I think Bret Baier is one of the most decent and honest folks on television who really tries to dig into issues and breaking news.
Yes.
When he's calling election results, there's a whole room full of people back here who are talking in his ear. That's not his independent decision-making happening.
However, here's what I'll say, just to take the flip side of this. Weren't polls... I thought there was
when
a...
they called Arizona. Isn't Arizona on the same time zone? Arizona doesn't go to daylight savings time, so they would have been in the same zone as California at that point in the night.
Right, but like, so were there still people...
in Arizona.
So no one was still voting in Arizona, no one was still voting in Hawaii, no one was still voting in California or Alaska, they were all closed. If that's cool...
Maybe Hawaii or Alaska, but I mean, they call other states all the time before the polls close on the West Coast. I've always thought that was a problem.
Yeah. Well, here's what I think is going on. And because I find this annoys me to no end. This annoys me to no end. And I have to constantly remind myself, I don't want to exist in an echo chamber. I don't want to talk to people who just agree with me. That to me is crazy dangerous. I get frustrated with some of the talking heads on news programs and political pundits and people on Twitter and stuff who, like, they're still in, like, they don't recognize that we're in a fight. They keep taking this high road. Well, the media has a responsibility to do the da-da-da, and you just want to smack them and go, yeah, yes, in a perfect world, the media has a responsibility to report the facts and blah, 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 blah. But do you not see the constant stream of propaganda coming out of the other side? Like, who on the left is the counterpoint to our people on the high road? I don't see them. And maybe I'm living in an echo chamber. But Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the way they went after the Trump-Russia collusion, they bit on that thing, they went with that narrative. Holy crap. Holy crap. And we've got, on the other side, you've got Hunter Biden's laptop, you've got receipts, you've got that dude, Tony Bobulinski, who was on Tucker Carlson. I've got text messages, I've got receipts, I've got a stack of freaking evidence, and they act like it never happened. You get in trouble if you tweet it, you get deplatformed if you put it on Facebook, you get flagged if you put it on social media. There's actual evidence now. You know what? You know, I was thinking about this right before we started doing. What if there was evidence? What if there was an email from China on Hunter Biden's laptop? Hey, talk to your dad. We think we figured out a way to rig the election. We got a guy in a like that could legit. That is within the realm of possibility that there's a fucking email from a Chinese official. Hey, get this information to your dad. We figured out how to rig the election. Could we look into that? Back in 2016, you had a failed Russian spy, you know, that Donald Trump likes hookers to pee on him. He shouldn't be president. He's working with Russia. He stopped everything for years. And they're like, isn't this embarrassing that Donald Trump isn't accepting these results? Hold the puffone. So to have these political pundits talk about, well, the media's responsibility, and shouldn't we be very careful to, it's horrible. Go ahead. I'm pissed.
Well, just because I feel a need, I'm, please understand, it's not that I'm not angry. I am very selective about the people I watch. And for example, one reason I like Tucker Carlson is because he has decent liberals on his show who you can have a conversation with, and they might have different perspectives than you on some things, but they are just as angry with the rest of the media as we are because they feel like they violated a public trust and a public responsibility. There are people like Glenn Greenwald. Glenn on nothing other than some fundamental principles like freedom of speech, right? Michael Tracy is another one. Alex Berenson, who's been all over this COVID stuff and used to be a New York Times reporter, and they won't publish him anymore.
Right.
I mean, there are a few. What Fox, in my humble opinion, needs to get away from is the Donna Brazils and the Marie Harfs of the whole thing. I mean, they're just so dyed in the DNC talking points that there is no discussing anything with them. And they put the same talking points out there that are on the left-wing media. They get the same memos. It's not like somebody who just has a different point of view. It is actually a representative of the DNC, which the other commentators, such as Dana Perino, Greg Gutfeld, you know, and the rest of them, they're not representatives of the RNC.
Well, this is the crossfire syndrome. There used to be a show, Crossfire. I think Tucker Carlson was on it for the longest time, and it went away.
Yeah, he said it got ruined because of things like this. Well, it started out as a legitimate discussion of current events with people who might hold different points of view, and it turned into Tucker Carlson destroys so-and-so, and he hated it.
Yeah. And then you had John Stewart go on and just going, just stop, stop. This isn't because once it slowly morphed from like what you're talking about. We're trying to find out what's true here. We're trying to find out what's true. We're talking about philosophies and how do you help people? What's the best way? What's a failed way? Blah, 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 blah. And that's a good and lively debate. Then through its own success, it becomes a thing. Ooh, I just like to watch that fight. I just like to watch a fight. And that's when it gets like barbaric. And when you are in the business of just selling a fight and not trying to, it's not a search for truth and what is true. And that's the other thing. We're talking about this in the A block. I think that's why the Trump coalition, if you want to call it that, the 73 million people, that's what everybody's feeling. It's like we're tired of watching the fight and just the BS when no one gets in trouble. Stop telling me if it's not a crime, stop telling me it's a crime. But if it is a crime, someone needs to go to jail. Someone needs to get in trouble. The those chicks that lied about Brett Kavanaugh. And that's the other thing that just, I can't believe these GOP people are just folding like such deck chairs on this crap. You've got the Russia collusion hoax. You've got the IRS Tea Party scandal. You've got what happened to Brett Kavanaugh in those hearings. You had the phony impeachment. You have Adam Schiff talking about, I've got evidence. I've seen it with my own eyes. We got to protect the whistleblower because it's about, the Constitution. So there is a pattern of the left will do anything to win. They will do anything. If you just look at what they did to freaking Brett Kavanaugh, come up here and lie, bitch. Come up here and lie, bitch. They'll do anything. So to have Sidney Powell go, do you know what? I think this Dominion voting thing, this looks shady. That looks shady. This system, frickin', you've got MSNBC, 60 Minutes. All these people were doing big news pieces about it just a couple of years ago. Boy, you can hack these things easy. And then for them to suddenly switch and go, this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. And to have people on the GOP to even entertain the idea that this is embarrassing. There's nothing embarrassing about it. There's nothing embarrassing about questioning the results from this fraudulent election, the mail-in ballots, the data, just the allegations. I want to hear all of it. I want to hear all of it. And then you reach this conclusion. We can't continue as a republic if there's a shadow of a doubt. If there's a shadow of a doubt and it doesn't work, so which brings me back to voter ID, vote in person, mail-in ballots are fraudulent. The press, the French knew it in 75. All these other countries know it. You can't do mail-in ballots. So this whole thing of, oh, it's embarrassing, it just makes me want to double down. Boy, I cannot wait for Sidney Powell to keep going. I just want to hear what she says. I just want to hear what she says. She says she's got evidence. Let's keep it coming. Keep it coming. It's Monday. Monday, it will begin. But this whole nobody gets in trouble thing, it can't continue much longer. Listen, I just want to say a little word of warning here. That dude that called into Rush Limbaugh, it was concerning to me a little bit. I love the guy's, the man's passion, but there was a little bit of desperation in his voice. I didn't listen. This is, if this thing goes sideways, it's going to go sideways bigly. Like, I don't, this won't
painfully.
Be
painfully.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's like, I don't want to go there. And I'm encouraging everybody to be cool. Be cool. I love that march on DC. I thought that was awesome. That was great. All the tens of thousands. Do you know they got that thing fact checked? They call it the Million MAGA March, and somebody put it up on Facebook, and Facebook's like, there weren't a million people there. It's like,
yeah,
oh,
just kind of like Farrakhan's Million Man March. Kiss my butt.
Yeah, it's like, listen, it's metaphorical, but that's the kind of thing. And people will, when You ever like there's a spider on your wall, and you go to smash the spider with a piece of napkin or whatever, and the spider just goes screw it and just jumps at you. It's like it's like a cornered mouse will just be like, yeah, there's a creature attacking me. It's looking at you, going, boy, there's a creature that's like 200 times my size. It's about to kill me, but you know what? I'm gonna attack it. At least I'll have that. I think there's have to think that mindset is in more than one American's mind right now. It's like, oh, what can you? And that's not a good place to be. The Million MAGA March is a good place to be. The picking and choosing your boycotts is a good place to be. Here's something I want to find out, and then we'll go to a commercial break, and we'll come back. Here's what I want to find out. I thought this could be fun. And I might do it. I wonder how much money CNN pays to airports to be on in the airport.
Hotel chains. Found that out this week.
Yes. That would be an interesting... That might be a fun GoFundMe to go to airports across the country with a counter offer. Listen, I know you're making this much money from CNN, but we have more money and we want to watch Fox News. We want to watch National Geographic, something else. We want to watch put on a loop a history of communism. Put it on a loop, the Joseph Stalin story. Put it on a loop, World War II.
Just like constant PragerU videos.
Yes. Yeah, we can do that.
It would be like an educational experience to go to the airport.
Wouldn't that be great? You're waiting for your plane, and you're watching PragerU. Are you watching? Mm-hmm. You're watching Loftus Party videos. All right, we're gonna take a little break. We'll be right back.
As a small business owner, you deserve more. More confidence, more connectivity, more of the tools that help your business thrive. And at Cox Business, you can expect more from us. We don't just have sales reps. We have perfect plan identifiers, people who will work with you to make sure your business gets everything it needs and nothing that it doesn't. Your business deserves more, and that's why you can expect more from Cox Business. Call 800-526-8572 to switch today. In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the healthcare coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
We cannot not give a shout out to Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble. And I hope you have a great one. And I hope you don't listen to anybody. Don't listen to all the naysayers, and don't listen to the Gavin Newsoms. Listen, this is just my opinion. This is the opinion part of the show. I'm looking at data about masks and no masks and lockdowns and no lockdowns. It doesn't appear to make a difference, you guys. It doesn't appear to make a difference. When I'm in Target, when I'm in the grocery store, I throw on a mask because I'm lazy, and you never know. But hopefully, human beings are smart enough to know that, oh my goodness, I feel sick, I shouldn't go out. But beyond that, it's the old, you know, quarantine the people who are at risk, keep them set aside and all that good stuff. But like Gavin Newsom, we'll talk more about Gavin Newsom and Thanksgiving and this, the elites, the total elites. I tell you, history doesn't repeat itself, but it definitely rhymes. And we're getting close to that whole let them eat cake, French Revolution part of our country's history. That's horribly frustrating. Okay. I want to go into there'll be more politics, but I don't want to be a liar. And Gimlet just reminded me that I did take a solemn oath to you guys about some entertainment stuff, some Mandalorian stuff. I'll briefly say this about The Mandalorian. And we're on episode 3 now? Maybe 4? I watched the one from last Friday night. Last week, we were promised you need to go to this planet and talk to a Jedi named Ahsoka Tano. I got all excited about that. Then they did a little bait and switch on me. And they're like, ooh, your ship's broken. You have to stop at this planet and get your ship fixed by these people and do another little side mission. It's a little pissed off. That was not satisfying. Don't you go lying to me, Jon Favreau. Mr. Mandel.
Is that like the casino thing in that horrible last, what was that one?
Remember the casino planet? Yeah, that was just, the casino planet was just a total side mission. Just a reminder, we hate capitalism. But with The Mandalorian, and I'm bummed about this. I'm bummed, and you're not watching, but I will warn you, there are some spoilers here. So The Mandalorian goes back, and he's hanging out with some old friends of his from season one, and they're trying to help this planet out, and that's where they're settled, and blah, 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 blah. But there's an old empirical base. Now, The Mandalorian, the timeline, takes place right after The Last Jedi, or the Return of the Jedi, rather. The second Death Star has blown up. The Emperor is dead. You know, Luke Skywalker saved his dad, and Darth Vader took off his mask, and he died, and the Ewoks, it's that movie. So there's kind of a little bit of a power vacuum in the galaxy. So the Mandalorian's on this planet, and Carl Weathers and this other bounty hunter girl, she's like, oh, there's an old empirical base here. There's people on the base doing something, but if we could just get rid of this base, this planet would become awesome. So the Mandalorian, because, oh, you're going to fix my ship for me on this side mission, I'll help you destroy this base. So they go into the base, and it looks like as they're going to blow it up, they stumble across, they're cloning people here. They're cloning people. Now, we know that later on, we find out, oh, the Emperor isn't dead. He's still alive. He's the true bad guy, and it's a clone, and blah, 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 blah. So it was kind of cool in a way. I'm really conflicted about it. I really, really am. It's kind of cool that they're trying to justify the Empire. The Emperor cloned himself, and that's why he comes back at the third of all the crappy trilogy. However, it bummed me out because, like, oh, they're gonna try to shore that up. They're gonna try to help out that theory. I know that Disney doesn't want to throw away those movies. They don't, because they want to sell them. They want to sell the stuff. But it's really not good. It's really not good. There was a part of me, and maybe it's the part of me that's hanging out for Sidney Powell in Dominion. But there's a part of me that just wanted them to throw out all three of these movies, these horrible movies. And this is my point. And this is what really, really bothers me about the whole thing. The six movies, you know, The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, whatever the third one was, and then A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back. That was all the story of Darth Vader. That's all Anakin Skywalker and a guy who goes to the dark side and then is redeemed. And all those six movies, that's what the whole thing is about. And Luke Skywalker, who's like, I believe there's good in you. And then Darth Vader at the end of movie 6, when he picks up the Emperor and chooses to save his son and throw the Emperor off, he has redeemed himself. He was a good guy. He was very, very bad. But his final act before he shed this mortal coil was an act of redemption. He brought balance to the Force. He did it. He killed the bad guy. to continue on in that story and go, oh, but the bad guy wasn't really dead. There was a clone. He was cloning himself and he was still alive. It undoes everything. Yeah, you can keep three movies, but you're sacrificing the other six. That has to be, as I say it, it's too funny. As I say it, I get more pissed off about it. But it's like, you can't throw away six movies because you got three shitty movies you want to sell merchandise on. You gotta throw those things out of the can. So it was a bummer for me to see The Mandalorian trying to set up that reality. Ooh, we're doing more setup. Here's some more setup. Here's some more. Ooh, look at that. There's a clone of the Emperor. We don't know if it's the Emperor, but they're setting up the whole cloning process and all that stuff. So they're digging in. They're doubling down. And it's like, the more you double down, the more you try to redeem those crappy three movies, the more you take away from the previous six. Okay, so that was my bitch session about that. It looks great, though. I love the production value on The Mandalorian. I hope you guys are watching and all that stuff. So that's my little geek, nerdy aspect of the show. I had to do something about that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a nerd about other things. I can't participate.
Okay.
With this one.
Here's the other one. I'll tell you guys this. I think we were discussing it last week with Paul Hare. Like, I'm reading the Witcher books, and I'm digging those. I can't wait for the Witcher to come back. That's the more I read those books. I'm on book three of the novels. The other ones were short stories. I'm not going to do that. I just don't dig short stories. That just doesn't do it to me. Short stories is like
a lottery.
Well,
what we had to read in our reading books in like 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
But like, the whole thing is like, with a short story, it's like you get all turned on and then it's over. It's like dry humping.
It's more like a serial.
Even if, like, I mean, the only short stories that I've ever really even come close to enjoying are the Stephen King ones. Because then those, they at least have beginning, middle, and ends. But it's never satisfying. I don't know anybody who reads a short story and goes, that was great. I wish it was shorter. Like, you always, if it's good, you want it to be long. It's never satisfying. It's never satisfying. It's like, it is. It's like dry humping in high school. That's all it's going to be. Yes, there's elements of a good time there, but nothing's really going to happen. Okay. I'm going to set my sights on a PS5. I got to get a PS5. And then I want to talk about this while everybody's listening. The new site is up and running. TheLoftusParty.com. We fired it up 2 nights ago. I'm still learning about, you know, posting and how do you, you know, put the pictures up and the links and all that stuff. But I'm digging in. Everyone else who writes for the sites, we're digging in. We are finally out from underneath, and I'm not going to mention the name of the company. I don't know why I think I'm going to get sued or anything. Let's just say I had a very, very bad experience with a company who promised one thing and then delivered another thing. I really got to be careful about this. I don't want to get sued. It was not a good experience. So
I have the emails.
Oh, hang on to everything. I always worry about slander, and I don't know quite how to go about it. And one of the things that I want to use the platform for, this is why I want more people at theloftusparty.com. This is why I want more people, you know, to follow on Facebook and be part of the conversation and join. The more when you have a bunch of people and you decide to get loud about something, you can make real change. That's all I'm talking about. The more people who are involved in this whole thing, the more good we can do. So I'm not done with this other company, meaning in terms of how I plan to refer to them in the future. But the good news is now it's a independent platform. It's an independent platform. I don't have douchey Von Douches looking over my shoulder, trying to make sure. The website will hopefully become more of what I always wanted it to be, and you know, more fun, more. Just pedal to the metal. Let's go. This is also the scary part. And I want to spend a little bit of time on this. There is a platform. Everybody's going to Parler. Everybody's going to Rumble. I also go to CloudHub. Do not forget about CloudHub, you guys. Gimlet, you turned me on to these guys. Mm-hmm. Because they don't collect the data and all that other good stuff. Do you know what happened to CloudHub?
What?
Listen to this. So the great thing about CloudHub, and I'm just telling you guys, I everybody, Parler, Rumble, CloudHub, they all have to work on their interface and the ease of use for the customer and all that other stuff. But what I like about CloudHub is, like, I can go into the left-leaning room. I can go in the liberal side of the chat. I can go on to the conservative side of the chat. Or I can just get it all. That's fantastic. I love that aspect. And then you can have, like, a little video channel over there. You're like, okay, here's my videos. And you can upload stuff from YouTube, or you can go directly from your phone, your computer, and here's my video channel. And then there's shows and all that. It's a really cool little system. I got an email a couple weeks ago from the guy who is the brainiac behind CloudHub, and without warning, the company, and I want to be careful about this too, the company that was doing the video services, like, hey, so, you know, you say you're uploading to CloudHub, you're actually going through this third party, and then, you know, they're storing and they're putting it on, yada, yada, yada. That third party, big one, said, we're not going to do your videos anymore. We don't know. So it's not CloudHub saying, hey, we're stopping you. And I think they've resolved the issue. I think CloudHub found another company to do that work. But that is the terrifying notion. All these people go, oh, you don't like Facebook? Well, you know, start your own. You don't like Twitter? Well, start your own. And then you go to start your own and you find out, oh, wow. It's not just Facebook. It's not just Twitter. It's the companies that make Facebook and Twitter possible that are going to try to shut you down. That was a really, really, it's like, when does it end? When does it end? Are they going to make us completely invent a new internet? Are we going to have to completely reinvent the laptop?
Maybe not the laptop. I don't know about the laptop. I would say maybe mobile phone platforms. You know, I listened to Glenn Beck talk about this at one point and said in a Biden administration, what he fears first is they're going to go after talk radio because they've tried to do it in the past and torpedo him and Rush and those guys. And, you know, that he's had conversations with all, I mean, like, you literally have people who are no longer allowed to use banking services because of politics.
Yeah. Yes.
And there's an interesting interview, and you may not agree with everything she says or the way she says it. Okay. But I find Katie Hopkins to be a very interesting person.
I like Katie.
And I also don't understand everything that's going on in the UK because it gets underreported. But she had an interview with Candace Owens on PragerU a couple weeks ago, and I watched it because I hadn't heard an interview with her in a while. And she said at this point in the UK, she has no access to banking. They've taken her home. They've gotten her fired from everywhere. Like, she has been so depersoned in the United Kingdom, it's terrifying.
Yes. It is completely, you are persona non grata. It's like in that movie, The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, when Yul Brynner was like, take his name from every statue, take his name from every, you know, and you just get erased. Good luck surviving in the modern world without a credit card or a debit card or banking or an online. You can't.
Where, I guess, and we've talked about this before, our billionaires, and we still do have them, right?
Yes.
Need to start investing in things like server farms because that's how you plug into the internet.
Yes.
That bypass the current routes. They need to, or fund some young upstart. But I mean, I've heard more than one commentator on the right that has said, over time, we're going to have a completely bifurcated economy.
I could see that happening. I can see that happening.
Like Black Ripple Coffee versus Starbucks.
Yes. Yes. And that is, to me, that's the glorious light at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, and we're just using Black Rifle as the example here, as more people go to Black Rifle does better, they make more coffee, they get more customers, blah, 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 blah. That's what I was just saying just a few moments ago. The more people you have on your side, the bigger noise you can have. And then suddenly if Black Rifle disappears, people get upset. The same is true, and this is the mantra, this is the mantra, this is the mantra. You know, Cheryl Atkinson, Tim Pool, Mark, any, you know, the Daily Wire, get... I'm hesitant. The only reason I hesitate about Daily Wire is it's a subscription service. I cannot stand that model. And my goodness,
a lot of their content is public too, though. There's some subscriber only stuff, but
as much of the free stuff that you can get, like just
same with support. The Blaze.
Yeah, yeah, and this one. Tell your friends about it. Oh, I listen to this podcast. This guy has a website. He does YouTube videos. They're funny. And I'll say this again because it bears repeating, and maybe it's just my ego. I know I could be meaner. When you guys come, when you see me do a live show, you'll be like, "Wow, it's kind of different." Da 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 da. I'm trying to thrive in a horror, and maybe it's wrong. Maybe it's wrong. Maybe my whole philosophy is wrong. But like with YouTube and Facebook and all that stuff. I'm never going to do these big, mean, vicious, over-the-top attacks that I know will get clicks. I know they'll get clicks. They'll also get me dialed down and all that other stuff. I want to thrive even underneath their crappy little rules.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I know you don't like the subscribe model, but it kind of replaces the YouTube ad model, which takes all your data and creates a digital you, which is scarier to me than paying $5 a month. But I heard Scott Adams basically say, yeah, there's the podcast I do on YouTube. You're not alone is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then there's the interaction and videos I do on my locals channel. Yeah, it's not the same.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Because he owns the locals channel. So it's just a different environment. I think Locals was meant to be a replacement for Patreon and YouTube to some extent. But
yeah, but what you need, and hopefully this is what's, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but what I'm trying to do, and this is what I always thought, and this is the thing I think that is scary for the media and was the big eye-opener for me. I want somebody to be able to stumble across my content. I want somebody who goes, you know what? It's socialism, man. Socialism is the answer. If we all shared equally, things would work out. Society would be so much better. Then I want them to stumble across my channel going, wow, socialism. Boy, they tried that. They tried a bunch. It doesn't seem to go so well. Look at what happened here. Ooh, look at all the, there's a lot of dead bodies in Russia because of socialism. Ooh, yikes, China. Look at that. It seems like every time they try it, it doesn't go well. But are though the you see the idea. I want to be the Johnny Appleseed that plants that little seed of doubt, that little, ooh, maybe I should look at this from a different perspective. Could I go to just a one side? Then I'm screaming in the echo chamber to a bunch of people who agree with me. What's the ultimate good that comes out of that? Nothing, nothing, nothing. And that's what the left has had for so long. The left has had this whole, hey, everybody, look at it. Everybody agrees with us. To recount now is being, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. So you have a bunch of idiots who think they're right, who may have just got a guy like Joe Biden into the White House and Kamala Harris. So here's what I'm going to do. Oh. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, what's interesting to me is because I don't tell the younger people in my life about these alternative platforms, right?
Yeah.
But I wait for them to come tell me. And one of my children recently came, oh, I found this new video platform called Rumble. And they're subscribed.
Yeah.
The app is on their phone. So our digitally, like, Borg-like children have a natural sense for these things and understand the censorship issue. And especially those under, I'd say, about 24 hate it because they've been censored their whole lives in school.
Yes. It's all good. However, and I'm just trying to pivot back to my little transition here. You've got a large segment of the population who may have, because they were operating under false assumptions and things that weren't true, and they were voting with their hearts and not with their minds, and blah, blah, blah. They were coerced into voting for a guy like Joe Biden because it's a fight for the soul of America. That is, in my opinion, a big mistake. So here's what we're going to do. We're wrapping up here, and then we're going over. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. We're like, subscriptions. Subscriptions are bad. It doesn't help. And now I'm like, now we're going to go over to Patreon. So, yes, there is some hypocrisy there. But you guys, it is what it is. You got a great show. You got a great show here. Yes, there's going to be more show on Patreon. If you want, if you can, come join us. I love the community. And hopefully, in the not-so-distant future, Patreon won't be necessary. And everything is just wonderful and awesome and goodness. And there's legit sponsors and real commercials and all that good stuff. I love you guys. Stay strong. Stay optimistic. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for leaving comments. That's how we break the algorithm. We will see you over on Patreon.